Hi guys, this is Game On Podcast with my new co-host Max Schuster and I'm Sander. You guys probably remember me and what do you do right now, Max, for college?
Hey guys, this is Max Schuster. So I'm currently a first year student here at Washington State. You're just a couple years older than me, but we got a little story to tell about ourselves if we want to, Sander.
Yeah.
You want to start off with that? How we know each other?
Yeah. We went back from high school and elementary school and middle school together, where when we got to high school, we did a lot of Atomic TV stuff together and broadcasting stuff together in high school, and it was so much fun. And it was a fun memory that we remember forever, because we got to do a lot of like Bomber stuff together and go a lot of Bomber sports games if we didn't play those sports games, and then we just still got to go cheer on everybody at Richland High School.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Xander and I have known each other for a long time. We've had some pretty fun memories we've got to share over the years.
Yeah, and then here's a question. Why do you think there's Special Olympics and Paralympics and disability programs at colleges? Because I feel like when I look at it, I'm feeling like if all those people with disabilities were respected in sports and everything, we wouldn't have these issues and have these programs or stuff either. I'm thinking that's the same thing that happened to Jay Robinson when he was playing baseball and he had to be in a league like that because he didn't get respected until he fought for himself.
Yeah, I think that one thing that Special Olympics and Paralympics provide is an opportunity for athletes to be highlighted, which I mean, you know, like what we did at Richland with Field Day, that was an opportunity for, I mean, someone as athletic as you are, that you got to show how athletic you were, and the highlight was on you. You know what I'm saying? Rather than if sports were integrated, that highlight wouldn't necessarily be there. And I think one thing that Special Olympics and Paralympics provide is that you are the star of the show, and the athletes are the star of the show for what they're able to accomplish and how successful and how athletic they are, that might not be able to be highlighted if Paralympics and sport, Special Olympics weren't a thing.
Yeah, and I agree with that too, but I also think that there's a possible thing, like if we didn't have these, they want to be able to showcase their talents to show that they're going to play college or pro sports, because my next goal is to make sure that I have this buddy athletes project that I'm trying to accomplish to make sure that they get to play college or pro sports, that they're good to play sports at those levels. Because I think, like, Zakeem Griffin, he got disrespected after he got cut by the Broncos. And I'm like, why would he get cut by the Broncos? You're so good enough to play in the NFL. And then Hendo Menio has one hand and plays basketball for Austin Peay. And I'm like, how did he's so good and he's doing so well for them. And then there's other females that are good at to play sports. I'm like, why does female and people with disabilities get disrespected more in sports? It should be like, we're all just humans out here. Why we have to disrespect one group of people? We're all just humans out here.
I get exactly what you're saying, Xander. And I think we'll see what happens with athletes that truly are just as talented or even more talented, and even if they have a disability or not. I think some of those examples you named are perfect fits for that for those categories, and I mean, we'll see. Like, the fact that a player played in the NFL with only one arm is pretty impressive, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more cases like that. I think that he broke down a barrier that people didn't think was accomplished or able to be accomplished. So I don't know. What do you think?
I also think too that he showed that anyone with disability could play sports in the pros, because there's a pitcher that he's played for the Yankees that had to pitch really weird and he had one hand he had to use. But also, Shaquem Griffin was in the Hall of Fame for UCF sports, and I'm kind of like, that's a big notice for him, because that shows that people with disabilities can play sports in the future if they want to at any level.
I'd agree. You want to move on?
Yeah, and then let's move on to our next one. And our next one is, what do you think of WSU baseball season coming up so far? Like, how do you feel about the team coming up so far?
We might have a special guest I want to talk on this one. Special guest Brandon Chapman, you have some thoughts on it?
I'm here. I'm taking the baton from X-Man here, because Cougar baseball is like my second life. You know, I have my family and job and all that. That's one life. And then I've compartmentalized the other part. The part of heaven is Cougar baseball. Bailey Brayton Field is my happy place. Do I have an opinion? Yeah. Interestingly enough, the Mountain West came out with their preseason, like, all-conference team, and there was only one Coug on that. It was Max Hartman. That doesn't mean that they don't have some talented players, but the team is almost a complete refresh. There are very few players who are back who haven't either A, graduated and left, or B, transferred in the portal. And then there are a few other players who just in recent weeks are no longer on the roster for whatever reason. And so you look at some of these players and you're going, okay, well, they're definitely talented, but they're not proven at either this level of play or just within the Mountain West. So it's no surprise, right, that how do you give somebody a preseason Mountain West nod if they've never played, you know, in the Mountain West or even at this level? And yet when the other coaches, right, when they all did their preseason poll, WSU came out as third among the eight teams. I think there's some recognition that, look, baseball is pitching and defense to start with, right? You got to have pitching, got to have good defense, especially up the middle. And WSU, you know, they certainly have improved that. Catcher, they're deep at catcher. You got Will Cresswell. I mean, he's been here. He's been starting since he was a freshman. He's an elite defender. Working on, you know, game calling and all that stuff. He needs a bat, and they brought in another player to help with that, a good left-handed bat that has some power. But the pitching, which was a weak spot last year, especially the bullpen, we went out and got some good pitchers. And pitching is going to be important because everybody hits in this conference, or almost everybody hits in this conference. Most of these stadiums that we play at, they're high elevation. I mean, it's not uncommon if you look down just team statistics that a lot of the teams are batting 290 as a team, and ERAs are about six, high sixes, low sevens. I mean, that's a lot. So, look, if we can improve pitching and then we've got that strong defense up the middle, then I think absolutely we have a good shot. But I think people say, oh, WSU, like, are they going to be any good? They only have one player on this list. Well, sure, right? We'll see. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. Right, how many of these players are on that? What I would say is substantially more important, the actual all-conference team, not just the preseason, like the prognostication. So I'm excited, though, because, head coach Nathan Choate, he is a pitching and defense guy. And, you know, we've certainly needed that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't watched much Coug baseball this past 4 years.
I'm first year.
So we're getting into it. I'm from Tri-Cities. Xander and I are both from Richland. So
let's put it this way. There's a picture from last year when we our very first home series of the year, and our first game got snowed out. And so there was a picture of everybody kind of hit cover or left when it started snowing pretty hard. And there's a picture of one guy sitting out in the stands right behind home plate. It was me. I wasn't going to go anywhere. Why was I going to go anywhere? Well, so I waited it out, and then they ended up, you know, banging the game. So I absolutely love it. And you're going to find that it's a great place early season. It is cold, so you're going to shed, you know, you need that winter coat that you haven't shed yet to get out there. And Xander, just so you know, just because I'm a fat guy doesn't mean I don't get cold. It just means I survive longer in the wilderness. So, yeah, Bailey Brayton's a great thing. And the fan experience has been upgraded. So you can have a beer now and sit in your seat, which is a first year you shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely not.
If they're doing their job, too, they're not going to let you do that. And but here's what the vibe, like the atmosphere, we had far too many fans who wanted to have a beer, and instead they just went down to the beer garden, which was way down past like the first baseline, kind of over in the corner, because that's where they could do it. And now, because they're allowed to do it in the seats, they've gone through the process, you're going to have fans that can stay in their seats and aid in some of that ambiance, which I think will be good. And then they improved the net, like the whole backstop. We finally have a major league style backstop instead of the pole with the fishing net that had holes in it, by the way, the one that was put up by Bobo Brayton years ago that they got from Seattle Fish and Marina, right? And it was still up, and I was zip tying this thing. Well, one of the beauties of having the Taylor Sports Complex next door is, hey, we don't want all these foul balls hitting the nice new building. So, okay, so guess what? We're going to be able to put in this other thing. We'll help with the cost of that. And now it's 40 feet tall, like off the ground level. So not from that first row of the bleachers, but it's going to save quite a few baseballs that way. Yeah.
Cost saving.
They spent money to make money.
In the long run.
They spent money to make money. Yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Tommy Richards is coming in as a coach, one of the assistants, and I'm excited about that because he was a former Coug. So it's always nice to bring, you know, Cougs in. And, you know, we have a few folks from Spokane and some Tri-Cities kids, you know. And, of course, Xander here, he's had Cooper Jones on the podcast with him before, and he's, you know, he's a Tri-Cities kid. So
he's a bomber. Part
of, yeah, he's part of that four deep catchers, though. Like, yeah. There's a log jam there where you've got – oh, you've got basically four catchers vying for time, and you know he's one of those. And he redshirted last year, so he's only redshirt freshman at this point. So he's still got plenty of time. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. I think it's gonna be a fun season. It'll be a little different dynamic because we're not playing USC, UCLA, you know, Stanford's, Cal's, like any of those. We're gonna be playing other teams. Fresno's gonna be the hardest team in the conference. I think that's what people are thinking because they're bringing back more returning players. Whereas Air Force, like they did well, like they won the regular season championship last year. And then they didn't get very far in the tournament, the Mountain West tournament, but they got dusted. Like they just lost so many people and they're projected to finish last place this year. So, hey, we won the conference last year and now we're projected to finish last. Yeah. So
well,
I think one thing too is,
I know Xander and I have talked about this too, about the whole conference realignment in a whole, and I think this year in baseball we'll see it, but it allows WSU a higher opportunity to win and make it farther than years past. Because like you said, we're not playing the UCLAs, the USCs. I mean, we're not playing some of those big powerhouses. And yes, Fresno State's going to be a hard team to play, but not a UCLA.
Okay. Guard. Bobo Brayton is one of the winningest coaches in college baseball history. And I say this knowing that I could end up getting taken outside, you know, tied to a tree, people throwing rotten apples at me, that kind of thing, when I say this. But sometimes we overhype a couple things. Number one is, for a number of years, the level of competition that we were playing wasn't necessarily how it has been in the last, like, say, 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have been playing these extremely good teams, yes. And on a good year, we'd finish 500 overall, and we'd be lucky to finish 500 in the Pac-12. That doesn't mean we didn't have good players. I mean, some of these Marty Lee's teams, Ian Hamilton, you know, was there. Ryan Walker's in the show. Like, we sent people to the major leagues, but we just weren't winning like we should have. Now, Donnie Marbitt came the closest a couple times in the late 2000s. And you know, that was great. But what was it before that? Well, you know, we were part of this Pac-8. But the Northern Division. Yeah. And there weren't enough teams to make a full Northern Division. So, yeah, you had the Southern Division that had all these, like the Arizonas and the USCs and all that. So what did we do in the Northern Division? Well, we had affiliated members, the same way that at least right now this year we're kind of affiliated Mountain West, that kind of thing. So Eastern Washington had a program that got disbanded in 1990. Gonzaga was part of this before Gonzaga was formidable. And they've had a pretty deep team in the last, you know, 10 years or so. They struggled last year. But, like, they've had a formidable team. But it wasn't that way for a long time. Oregon State was not the powerhouse that they are now. So we would play Oregon State, we'd play Gonzaga, we'd play Eastern, we'd play a lot of Portland State. Like, these were the teams that we were beating up on. Now, on a really good year, sometimes we'd head south and maybe we could win a few games. But if you look at the history of it, a lot of times we were getting dusted in the south. Right, we'd win the Northern Division, and then baseball's crazy. You just got to take a couple games, you know. And hey, look at that! But that's why, you know, what was it? 76 was the last time that we, you know, we really made a run. We made a push and made it to the College World Series, which is incredible, right? But some of those teams, I mean, they weren't playing the level of competition that we are now. So I know I say, like, it makes it seem like I'm cheapening the legacy of Bobo. So you got to say that and make sure that you're wearing pads and a helmet.
Exactly.
When you say that. But now, like, the level of competition has been a lot harder. So to scale is are we really kind of a Mountain West type school in baseball? I feel like we are.
Well, I think if you look at it, we're more – it's hard for me to say, too. I've been – my dad played football here. My mom was a golfer here. Been a Coug my whole life. It's hard for me to say that we're
Wait,
not.
What teams did your dad play on?
He was with Bledsoe. He's the same recruiting class as Bledsoe.
Same last name?
Yeah, Schuster.
Okay.
he medically retired. I was going to.
Okay.
My uncle was a football player here as well. He was with Ripon.
Okay. All right.
But we've talked a lot too, and it's hard to say because pridefully I love being part of the Pac-12. We are more of a Mountain West.
In some sports, it makes a lot of sense.
We've definitely
played up a number of years since I've been here, included. we went through. Geez, we made 2 Rose Bowls with Mike Price. That doesn't mean every year we were fantastic, but we did make 2 Rose Bowls. And then we started going downhill, and the Paul Wolf years were lean, and then Mike Leach brought us back to at least some relevance. And
I mean, eight bowl games in a row.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Right. So I look at, okay, what does that mean when you move conferences? Well, at some point you're not going to get the same level of recruits either. But baseball's such an interesting sport, right? It's definitely a skill sport, and you have to find the components that will win in the environment. And I absolutely would love to see, Nathan Choate do that. Now, obviously, what's the future hold for baseball? Well, right now we're in the Mountain West. We're affiliated Mountain West. We're going to be here. I'm going to enjoy it. And so big news, though. Learfield, which holds the contract to do the media rights, they've always been really good to our student radio, which is KUGR. There are a couple student radios, but only one is relevant, so KUGR. And they do all the games. And Learfield's had no issues with that. It's an experiential learning. And we've gone on the road. Last year we went on the road for all the football games except Fresno State. And, we spent the time and money, and we're very grateful for the donors. I speak in we on this because I'm the professional advisor for the sports section of this and the faculty advisor for the whole student radio. And anyway, but for baseball, it's always been just the way it's been with Learfield. They broadcast all the home games, and they broadcast all of the road conference games, but they do not do the non-conference games. So teams we've been used to as just even as fans in hoping that the team that we play has a broadcast. And some of these games that we'd play early season were in neutral sites, and sometimes they would have somebody there, or sometimes they'd have a stream on. I remember one time in like SoCal, there was a stream, and it was on a static camera. It was just sitting from like the press box. It was like a
high school days.
Somebody's old Canon camera on a tripod. No broadcast, no nothing. You could just see the game going on, and from a long ways away, right? Anyway, but we're working now, right now. So KUGR should be doing the series in Cleburne, Texas, which is a 4-game series. Played against Iowa of all teams, because in late February you can't really play baseball in Iowa either. So the team's going to start this weekend against Arkansas on the road in Fayetteville. They just announced today that they're changing a game time, so Sunday's supposed to be really bad weather. They already know it, so they're going to do a doubleheader on I think they say Friday. Anyway, Friday or Saturday is having a doubleheader and then playing again on Monday. Team then goes to Corpus Christi for a tournament. That's one of those things where anytime you do a tournament, an invite, whatever, there's usually a contracted media. So those will be broadcast through this Flow, whatever, where you pay $30 to pay $29.99 per month. So you just do it for the 1 month so you can see the games, for that tournament. But then, look, we got a 4-game against Cleburne with absolutely nobody broadcasting it. So that's when we're saying, hey, let's do this. It was a lot cheaper to go to Cleburne because you're flying into Dallas than it was to Fayetteville. It was like $1,000 a ticket to fly into Fayetteville, whereas we're flying into Texas for significantly less. So it's going to be one of our students, Davis Hagen, and myself going to Cleburne, and we're going to call all 4 games against Iowa. It'd be just a blast, an absolute blast. So anyway, thanks Xander for letting me hijack your show. You're like, this isn't even my show anymore. Thanks a lot, jerk. Anyway, I appreciate you letting me do that. I'm going to give the baton back to you.
Yeah. And then also, I also have a friend that plays baseball for Gonzaga. His name is Huddy Shoup, and we all know him from Tri-Cities.
Yeah, Peyton Graham's another one.
Yeah, Peyton Graham's another one.
Graham's going to probably get drafted.
And they're really good at baseball. And then my friend Dave Dickinson that played for Kennewick now is probably going to be a first-round draft pick this year coming up, and he's supposed to be a first-round draft pick, and he plays for LSU right now.
Yeah. Some good baseball talent coming out of the Tri-Cities recently.
Yeah, there is. And then here's the...
Here, I'll ask you this question, okay. Xander, as we move down this list. So why do you think there are club – we just talked about baseball, but why do you think there's club sports at the college level?
I think it's important to notice that everybody wants to play sports, but everybody that doesn't get to play at the university level gets the opportunity to play sports still, because I think sometimes they feel left out, and sometimes if there's a club sport team, they might feel like they might get a shot at playing sports still, and their sports career is not over yet.
Yeah, I totally – well, I have a couple friends who are actually on the club baseball team. And I know, you know the love that people have. I mean, you were involved in all sports, but, I mean, think about your baseball team. Think about the amount of guys who, like Jace Voplinski,
yeah,
who had love for baseball, tried, and he just couldn't make it, you know, at that next level.
Yeah.
And I think club sports are such a cool thing, because it allows players or athletes to continue their love for a sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think, like, for me, it's a little, I'm a big golfer, by the way,
yeah,
listeners. So I'm a big golfer, and golf's a little different, because I'll be able to golf my whole life. Yeah. But I also know that if I was a big baseball player,
yeah,
I could maybe play in a slow pitch softball league when I'm 40, you know, a beer league with some of my coworkers, my friends, but never will I be able to compete like in baseball, club baseball, or high-level baseball, and I think that's what club sports does.
Yeah, I agree, and then, like, when I look at, where do you see sports in 5 years? Because right now, I think, I saw someone talking about, like, NEO deals, and he thinks it's killing college football, because it's getting all these athletes to leave teams, and all these teams are losing players because of NEO money and everything, and then these players just keep leaving for wanting to go for more money, and I think in 5 years, we need to see a rule change where college football is separate from all the other sports. Football needs to be separate from all the other sports in college, so that these other sports don't have to be part of this situation going on. They don't have to travel as much, because other sports, they play more games during the week than football does, I believe.
Well, I think if you say, where do I see sports in 5 years and where do I see college sports in 5 years, it's different. Yeah. Because I think sports are actually growing in younger ages. I mean, that's to an extent.
Yeah.
I think there's more sports being allowed. But I think college sports is in this weird stage that NIL is ruining. It's not ruining. It is ruining college football specifically. I think when we look at, I think it's, but what it's ruining about college football is the ability to be a true fan. So when I think of my childhood watching WSU football, I mean, there's like just some names that come: Peyton Pallor, Jihad Woods, Hercules Madafa, Luke Falk, Connor Halliday. Like those are just some of the names that I know. Like, I mean, Jeff Toole's another one. Most of those guys started for 3 or 4 years. And that's because they were here for those 4 years, or at least a couple years. Peyton Pallor was 6th year. And I just think of those memories. Jihad Woods strip sacked Sam Darnold. I mean, I vividly remember that. Like, I will remember that. That wasn't even his last year. So what I think is happening in college football and college sports in general, I mean, we saw it last year. I mean, we're a prime component of people leaving to go to the transfer portal. You know, yes. I mean, you work with the football team. You, yes, know that.
I know that.
I mean, lots of faces are changing every single year. But I think what college sports and NIL are doing is they're removing the ability to be a true fan, and for kids specifically. So when I say sports are growing, I think I think kids, I don't know the numbers. I think kids are playing more sports, but I just don't think that they're having the true like drive to like, I wanted to be a good WCU football player with all my life. And I don't know if kids are still getting that same aspect because they're not being like, I want to be the next Peyton Poehler. I want to be the next Luke Falk, you know? So that's where I think, where I see, but then professional sports, I think professional sports are taking off. I think this is one of the most engaging years of NFL football I've watched in a long time. I mean, would you, like, it was pretty interesting this year. And then look at Luka. Luka just got traded to the Lakers. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother thing, right? Like I think that there's more action within the professional sports and it's getting more engaging. And I think they're taking advantage of an opportunity where college viewership numbers might be on the decline. And they're taking advantage of that, and they're saying, all right, let's go all in on viewership and numbers, and let's make this matter. And so I think the NBA specifically, NFL is doing a good job too, and MLB's all, I mean, they have their main watchers that's not going to change.
Yeah.
They can get more, but I think the NBA, their numbers have been going down. They've expressed that they've been going down. So I think they're taking big jumps. How can we get us more involved? I don't know. I think professional sports and college sports in 5 years are a lot different. I think they're going to look a lot different.
Yeah, I agree. And then how do you see sports in the world? Because I look at sports like, why do we take sports super seriously if we're just trying to go out there and have fun and enjoy? Because I feel like a long time ago when our parents were around and they were watching sports, I think sports was more fun back in the day than it is in today's world. I feel like there's some moments that our parents watched that's not in today's world of sports that people want to have in sports, but it's lost in sports. Because I feel like there's so many good moments I see in documentaries. When I watch the Michael Jordan documentary or I watch like Shaquille O'Neal documentary, like there's so many good documentaries I watched that made me think that this sports era is just not as good as the eras that our parents were around when they were kids.
Well, I think part of it is so that's a really good question, Xander. I think that part of it's social media and the way that we intake information and highlights. I mean, you think about how many highlights of sports games, I'm actually asking this,
yeah,
do you think you watch in a day?
Probably a ton.
I mean, it's just because you're always watching sports.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're so – the people that are into sports, and me and you are prime components of them.
Yeah.
I think we are so invested. I know, like, my whole For You page on TikTok is sports. Most of my Instagram, if I were to scroll through my Instagram right now, at least 15 of my 20 posts would be about sports. So we just live, breathe everything in. And I think when our parents were growing up, it was, okay, this game is happening at this time, and on one of my three channels that I get, I know I'm going to be able to watch Magic Johnson play Michael Jordan. And like I know that's going to be the biggest game of the year, no questions. And I think now it's like, okay, well, Luka just played last night or two nights ago in his first game. I didn't need to watch that game because I knew I would see everything I needed to on my phone. And guess what?
What?
I saw everything I needed to on my phone. And so I think that part of it's like when we talk about these big moments, I think there's still so many big moments for fans. I mean, name the a big moment you can think of recently in the last 5 years.
It was Villanova when they hit the game winning shot to beat North Carolina.
I mean, that's like basketball. I mean, got past half court on that little shuffle pass. Bang, right? I mean, yeah. We all, like, I remember that. I think, like, we can talk about Super Bowls. Last year's Super Bowl with the 49ers Chiefs when the time almost expired. Like, that's another memory that comes to my head.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's still so many of those moments, and I think that over time we will think about them, and as we get older, we're farther removed from the moment that they become, like, wow, that really was a big deal. You know, so I think that... Yeah. I think that, one, we're more engaged on social media, so we see all the highlights every day if we wanted. If I want to pull up the Villanova right now, I could look it up in like that. Whereas some of our parents' memories, it's like, I gotta watch SportsCenter tonight. I gotta watch this where they talk about it because I'm not gonna be able to see it for a while. So I think part of it's like having access to everything. Do you get what I'm saying with that? I don't know. I think you're a prime component, Xander. I think you're so invested in sports that you just love watching everything. You go back and watch those memories to keep them fresh.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's our whole society right now.
And then with sports too, like when I see sports, it's like when I see what Kent Clark's doing right now, trying to get a lot of people to watch women's basketball right now in the WNBA, I'm like, is he going to be the priority of like showing that everybody in sports matters and showing that female should be treated the same way as men are in sports? And because that's her goal, I feel like what's going on with WNBA and what happened with her in March Madness and everything, I feel like her goal is to make sure that people can watch her so they know that women matter just as much as men do in sports.
Did you see that she declined to participate in the NBA 3-point contest?
Yeah.
So I think what you said is what you said and what she's trying to get out perfect. I think she's trying to highlight WNBA. She's trying to highlight the athletic ability and the success that the WNBA has, specifically her. I mean, she is the best, if not the best, one of the best athletes in the world right now. And I think that would be, most people would say that. And I think that when we look, when me and you are our parents' age, I think we're going to be like, wow, what she did for women's sports, not just WNBA, not just women's basketball, for women's sports is incredible, because she opened the eyes of how truly incredible women athletes are. And so I think that Caitlin Clark, more than anything, has provided us as viewers an opportunity to be engaged, to be thrilled, to be excited about women's athletics and women's sports that we haven't really had before. I mean, we've had the Olympics soccer, USA soccer is one that will always, like, at least in the last couple Olympics, has been heavily supported. But I think that Caitlin Clark has truly changed women's athletics, not just basketball, but in a whole. And I think she's putting the highlight on women's sports and doing it in a way that is bringing light to the sport rather than shying away. Yeah. And she's not doing it and saying, you guys are bad for not previously watching it. She's like, join us. Like, let's go. Like, let's ride. You know, let's go do this thing.
Yeah.
And get involved in watching women's sports that, yeah.
Kind of like what Michael Jordan did when he was playing the game and how he got more people to watch the NBA. Now it's her for the WNBA. And I think, and I know there's a brand called Moolah Kicks, and they're starting, and they make women's basketball shoes for women that need their own shoes, because there's not very many women's basketball shoe brands like there are men's. Like there's so many brands that only focus on men's shoes, but there's not very many women shoe brands like Adidas and Nike and Under Armour. This owner of Moolah Kicks thought that women were getting treated terribly because when they go to stores, they have to wear men's basketball shoes everywhere they go to play basketball. So they're trying to change that by showing that women deserve their own shoes.
I think that, did you see, you know, like Sabrina Ionescu's, her shoes?
Yeah.
Though, I mean, they're like the fifth most worn shoe in the NBA, I think. That might be wrong, but it's like Jordan, LeBron's, a couple others, and then her. She's up there. And I think it's just because it doesn't matter if you're a woman or not. She's incredible at what she does. She deserves her own shoe, and she's got that, and she's getting money for it now. And I think similar things will happen with Caitlin Clark as well.
I also think that Kobe Bryant shoes are up there too.
Yes, Kobe Bryant. That's, yes, absolutely. Kobe Bryant shoes are up there.
And then one other thing too, what I want to say too is like, what do you think of Live Golf competing with the PGA Tour? Because when I saw that happening, like, I thought it was good for PGA Tour because they worked harder and they paid their athletes a lot more money, or did what the athletes wanted them to do. But I don't think sometimes if you don't have someone competing with you and you don't have a competitor with you, you're not going to get better every day as an athlete or as an owner of the league if you want to do better as a league. Totally. Because, like, what I look at is when Washington State and Oregon State sued the Pac-12, I feel like then we're showing the Pac-12 that they made a mistake, and we have to own it so that then now the Pac-12 doesn't make that same mistake again when we get the new members coming up. Because I think we should add Creighton to the Pac-12 since they're really good at basketball, but we also could have the Pac-12 baseball tournament at Omaha, Nebraska, because that viewership would go higher if we have it there, because that's what the College World Series side is, and I thought the Pac-12 baseball tournament there would be awesome.
In Omaha?
Yeah.
Yeah, the new one you're saying? Or
they had the new look Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be cool. I think that the Pac-12's in a weird state. I don't know how much that costs because I don't know how much money we have. But I do think that the Pac-12 and the new Pac-12 will definitely need to take some risks that they might not have before, just to try and get back to the point that they will never. Sorry. They'll never get back to the point that they were, just because they don't have the brands, but I think they can get close to it, you know, and I think that the only way they can do that is by taking risks, and yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But then we already had Gonzaga, and Gonzaga is good at basketball.
Gonzaga is really, they are a big brand. You're right. They are, exactly. They are a big brand, and that added to the Pac-12. I think WSU is a big brand. I mean, the WSU logo is one of the most recognizable logos in all of college. Yeah, I don't know.
And then I also think too. One thing I also look at too is like when I watch that movie, when I watch the title games in like the NHL or like the MLS or like the NFL or MLB or NFL, I think when I look at it, I think the Major League Baseball World Series is so much more fun to watch than the NFL Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl is fun. But I think sometimes they're like I don't like it when the Chiefs always win because I feel like the referees let them win a lot of times. So like when it happens when the referees allow one team to win, I think it makes the Super Bowl less fun to watch for some people because some people don't want to see one team always in it. They want to see more competition when they're like I thought the Buffalo Bills had the Chiefs and they got the first down, but the referee said that was not first down and I was kind of pissed and I was angry. Like it was a first down.
So what were your thoughts on the Super Bowl this past Sunday?
I like the Eagles won because the Chiefs deserve to lose because the referees allowed the Chiefs to win against the Buffalo Bills and win.
Do you think that the Bills overall, like, do you think they would have had a closer game with the Eagles? Or do you think the Eagles just are that – do you think they're truly the best team in the NFL this year?
I think the Buffalo Bills will have it closer to with the Eagles.
What do you think? Do you think the Lions Bills would have been the best game possible?
I think it would have been the Bills and Eagles.
Yeah, I just agree. I just didn't know. Do you like the Lions?
No, I like the 49ers.
Oh yeah, you're a 49ers. I forgot that. But do you like Dan Campbell?
Yes.
Dan Campbell's a good guy. So yeah, you hate the Chiefs, don't you?
I don't like it because I beat my 49ers twice.
Yeah, I get that. I forgot about that. So, yeah, you were really rooting against Mahomes. We're talking – you're kind of close. The Los Angeles Dodgers, what are your thoughts on them this offseason?
I think that they're – when I see what they're doing, every team should be able to have a high paid team like that because if you can't, you can't beat the Dodgers or you can't beat the Yankees.
Because you're a Mariners guy.
I'm a Mariners and a San Francisco Giants guy too. I'm like both teams.
Yeah, but I mean you're local. They're local, right? Yes. So my theory is why are you gonna own a professional team and not spend the money?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, what, we just went out, got two guys, and we're good? Two role players? Like, we have the money. I mean the Mariners have the money to go get big guys. They just don't spend it. So why do you think that is?
I think the guy is just a little worried that if he spends too much money, he's going to waste his money and lose. And I think he's worried, and I don't think he, like, trusts himself to do it. The owner does.
Do you think that it's like, so it's, I think it's John Stanton, I think, is like the primary owner. But do you think that he, do you, Okay, I'm gonna backtrack this whole thing, Xander. Sorry, I'm a little bit crazy. Like my mind just isn't always straight.
Yeah.
Do you think that investing in college sports helps the university as a whole?
I think it does because like most of these colleges, they have sports make more money off their sports and education. Because most of the time, if you think about it, if you make more money off your sports teams and you do really good with your sports teams, a lot of students will come to the college because you do really good sports. Let's say you're like Stanford. You're one of the top business schools in the world, and then your basketball team does really good, or your baseball team does really good, or your football team does. Then more people want to come to your school because they love doing your sports, not just education. They want to come watch your sports teams play too.
Because right now, I think like WSU's enrollment numbers are going down. Do you think that it would be time to say screw it? We need something to change.
Yeah.
And do you think they just go all in on athletics and say?
I think what happens is we go like 70% in athletics and 30% in like education, so we can like stay somewhat committed to academics.
Well, obviously, I'm just saying like pour more money into.
Yeah, more money. I think we need to have more fundraising in our program. And I know this year we get more scholarships for football players than we did with Coach Dicker here.
Yeah, and I think we'll see what happens with new coach. I think that'll be interesting. I think we're going to move away from our past heavy WSU tradition that we've stuck to and move to ground and pound like the good old days of football, how South Dakota State did it last year.
Yeah, do you like it?
I mean, me personally, I love I love air raid offenses. And I think that's partially because I grew up watching Mike Leach. My prime years of Cougar football, or Mike Leach football years. And I think that it's fun to see big numbers on the scoreboard. It's fun to see nation's leading passer come from WSU. So I don't know. I have mixed emotions on it because I really truly do love air raid offense. I love airing the ball out, throwing it downfield, scoring lots of touchdowns, having good wide receivers. I just haven't adjusted to it yet, and I don't know if we win, we win. And I think that's the biggest thing at the end of the day. If we're winning football games, if we're making a run late in the season, I think that a win's a win, and it doesn't really matter. I'm not adjusted to it yet, I could say.
But right now, I definitely will say I was a Mike Leach fan too, because my grandpa got me to watch Mike Leach when he was here, and I got to go to an Oregon State versus Washington State game. But I was going for Oregon State, but then I didn't care who won. Like I didn't care who won because I like both teams, and when I watched the Pac-12, I only went for Oregon State and Washington State most of the time. I didn't go for anyone else. I felt like those were the only two teams I can root for in the Pac-12. I couldn't go for anyone else. I didn't like UW or Oregon or Stanford or Cal.
You grew up a Boise State guy.
But when I'm watching the Pac-12, I always root for Washington State or Oregon State.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you were a big Boise State fan, right?
But not anymore.
Not anymore. So you'll next year or 2 years when they join the Pac-12, you'll be full Coug.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you made a good decision, Zan. How long have I been telling you that I think the Cougs, you should be a Coug?
For basically like 1 year before I chose to go to college somewhere.
Yeah, I've been preaching it. I love WSU.
And then what I love about going to school here too is I like the college town atmosphere here that does not happen at very many college towns.
I would agree. It's kind of WSU in Pullman rather than, whereas like UW, it's UW that's in Seattle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or it's Seattle with UW in it. It's not W or UW makes up the whole thing. And WSU just seems kind of on an oasis or an island out here.
Yeah, but do you like it when I was younger, my grandpa always got me to watch Mike Leach and Washington State play football because he liked Mike Leach a lot, so he got me to watch Mike Leach play football. Do you like that? Because I think I love Mike Leach. He was a good coach and everything, and I miss him. I'm sad he's not around anymore and he's not alive. I miss him, and I think he was the reason why Washington State got back to where they need to be as a football program.
I really wish that I really wish that Mike Leach was still alive and still coaching in the SEC because I think that Mike Leach would have blown the SEC out of the water with the air raid offense, and I do kind of wish I got to see that, just because I know that when he went to the SEC, you couldn't be mad at him. I mean, sorry, Mike's going a little crazy here. When he went to the SEC, you couldn't be mad at him because you knew that's just something that he always wanted. He wanted to prove to people that the air raid offense could work anywhere. So I wish Mike Leach was still around because I think in the SEC he would have kicked butt and taken some names while he was at it, and they think very easily could be at the top of the SEC right now.
Yeah, and then what do you think of Isaac Jones and Dylan Wells, how they're doing in the NBA after playing for us last year, and how we made it to March Madness last year, we made it to second round, and now they're in the NBA. Now Dylan Wells made a shot above LeBron. How do you feel about that all that's going on now? Now we have Cougars in the NBA, and now we might become like a basketball school if we keep doing what we're doing. And then now football might get more serious because now basketball is starting to do better than football, so now we have to get serious about football.
I think that Isaac Jones is more surprising than Jalen Wells. The reason I say that is because Isaac Jones is a big man in college, and that typical big man has not recently been able to be translated over to the NBA that well. And I love seeing him do well, and he's doing pretty good. Jalen Wells, I didn't expect him to be as good as he is, but holy cow, Xander, he's representing WSU well. I mean, he is a stud. I mean, he's up there in top five for rookie of the year. Voting. Like, that's pretty freaking cool, dude. And I think, like, I mean, the last time we had a guy like that was do that well in the pros was Clay. And we had Aaron Baines for a little bit, but I mean, he was a big man. He stuck around for a while. I think we've had a couple, but Jalen Wells is really kicking butt in the NBA. It's cool.
Yeah,
cool
to watch. And it is kind of cool to watch. But where do you think about like equality when you like look at like trying to make sure everybody gets equal opportunities in sports? Like for me, I think for me right now, my next plan is to get my disability athletes product started so that I can make sure that people with disabilities get to play sports at the college and pro level and make sure that they get the same opportunities that everybody else gets. Because I think what I look at, people with disabilities don't get the same opportunities and only get to compete with their type of people. It's like almost the same thing happened with Jacob Robinson when you only got to compete with black people. Now I only get to compete with people with disabilities, and I think that's not fair. Like me in the future, I want to go to a marathon and show that I can compete in a marathon and show that I'm one of the fastest runners of all time and show that I can be in a marathon. I want to change the world by showing I can compete with everybody that's in the marathon and show that I'm capable of doing it. I want to do that in the future and do some golf tournaments and show that I can compete with everybody that does not have disabilities and are a little better than me and show that I can still compete with them because I'm like Tom Brady. I don't have the best talent, but I'm still going out there working hard and still winning. I'm still a hard worker and still thinking smart, still go out there and play smarter a lot of times, but you don't need the most talent to win. That's what Tom Brady showed.
I mean, I think Tom Brady is pretty talented too, but I would agree, Xander. I think that I think you might be the best cornhole player I know, which that's, listeners, if you're listening, that's a little fun fact about X-Man over here that most people don't know. He can toss the bag. He's a good cornhole player. But I think that absolutely, I love your disability athlete project, just because I think it, you are bringing light to something that isn't often done. And I think that it also depends on the sport. Do you get what I'm saying when I can say that? I think that obviously, and this sounds bad, and don't take this in a bad way, but someone who is in a wheelchair probably can't go play football. And that's just not how it's meant to – that's not how the sport is meant to be played, right? I mean, but I do think that wheelchair basketball could blow up, and I hope it does because it's really freaking fun to watch.
And I also see people do wheelchair tennis too.
Yeah, and I think that could turn from something that's – okay, yes, you're competing against other people that are in wheelchairs, but that's not necessarily saying that, like, it's a lower level. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like wheelchair tennis is still – there. I mean, or basketball, it's such a high level of – wheelchair tennis or wheelchair basketball. That I think that there's, I totally agree with you when I think there's a balance that you can have from it not being solely focused on the fact that there's players with disabilities, rather than it can be focused on how incredible athletes they are. Yeah. You know, like, I think that instead of highlighting that they are disabled, I think you can highlight how good of an athlete they are without, you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Just because I do think that there's certain sports that might not be able to be fully integrated. Now, it depends on the disability, obviously, and that's another thing, is not all disabilities are the same, right? I mean, some people, if you have one arm, you could still go play football.
Or basketball.
Or basketball. Or
baseball.
Or you could be a baseball player. Exactly. But then I think that there's some that if you are in a wheelchair and maybe you're paralyzed or you don't have the full functioning muscles in your legs or something, that I don't think they can't play football. And it's hard, but there's ways to highlight how truly incredible they still are.
Yeah, and I also saw there's wheelchair tackle football too.
Yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that. It just hasn't kind of got big yet.
But it will eventually, hopefully.
I hope so too, because I think that would be pretty incredible to watch.
I think it would be too. And then here's two more questions we're going to talk about, and then we're done. What do you think about athletes trying to leave for teams when they go for more money? Like, I don't think the schools would be paying the athletes. I think the businesses and the companies and sponsorships would be only paying the athletes. I feel like, in my opinion, I think if the colleges do, the athletes are always going to leave their programs, and it's going to, like, one coach said at Miami, they used to be at Miami University.
The basketball coach?
Yeah. And he said, like, I don't want to be there anymore because I hope I'm going to get to a Final Four a few years ago. So what can I do more? They just left my program and I just did it all. Like, I agree with him because coaches don't feel like they're competent in anything when the players leave and they always lose players every year and they have to rebound like NFL teams do. They don't feel like they're competent in anything as a coach.
I think that in college sports, it should stay strictly to name, image, likeness. And I think that you shouldn't be getting a stipend for committing to a school. Now, if you are a Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who you are, and you should be able to be on a Dr. Pepper commercial because you are Bryce Young. Yeah. People know who you are. I think that when you look back at some of the names, Johnny Manziel, people knew who he was. He has a name, image, likeness to his name.
Yeah.
I don't think, no hate to offensive linemen, because I'm an XO lineman myself. But offensive linemen do not always, but for the most part, do not have that same name, image, likeness as a quarterback, as a receiver, as a skill player. Therefore, if they are having, I think, IHOP, if they want to hop on the NIL trend and pay linemen, absolutely, pancakes, whatever, because that's what they're advertising. That's who a lineman should reach to. I don't think that an O-lineman should commit to the University of Alabama, never once do a commercial, never once talk to someone, yet they receive a $10,000 stipend every semester. That doesn't make sense to me. And I really don't like when players transfer and just for the money. John Mateer, I think that's a different story. Because John Mateer got offered $3 million, roughly, but he also is getting the opportunity to showcase his talent. I don't know. And he's also at a higher level, SEC. But he's also doing stuff to get that money. Okay. Now we talk about Giovanni McCoy, University of Idaho quarterback 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He transferred to Oregon State for $300,000 and got benched halfway through the year. He still got that $300,000.
Yeah.
He never did commercials, never did anything like that. And so I think that I think players also realize the grass isn't always greener. And I think that's a big thing that people need to start realizing is a lot of players enter the portal and don't get picked up.
Yeah, and then also something too I just saw is there was a kid that committed to Oregon for a quarterback, but he was going to go to Cal, and then he transferred to Cal because he knew he would get more playing time there, but he went to Oregon first so he can make all the money before he go to Cal. And I'm like, that's terrible. Like, why would you go to Oregon? You're not going to start at Oregon. You're going to be able to start at Cal. Like, what, these players are going to schools that they can't start at, and then they waste their career because they're not going to schools that they can start at and have a good chance of playing football at. Like, why would you do that? You're wasting your whole football career or your sports career because – you don't understand that money is not as important as your opportunity. Opportunities are bigger than money, I think, in college sports. If you look at it, I love how he's getting paid, but when you get paid bigger than what you're supposed to get paid, then you might not be able to play, and that might hurt your career, and then you don't make it to the pros. There's so many athletes that have talent to make it to the pros, and then they just don't, and then they don't do it. It's like what happened to Jalen Hurts almost. Like if he didn't transfer and he stayed at Alabama, his career probably wouldn't make it to NFL, and he's here because he went to Oklahoma, and now he's in the NFL doing so much good things. And I think so many athletes would be in the same story as Jalen Hurts if they were able to go somewhere they can play.
I agree. I think you hit it spot on, Xander. I do. I think you got it. It's about, I think, playing time is more important than money. You got one more question?
Yeah, and then this is my last question. Where do you think the sportswear industry will be in like a few years? Because I think right now, like with Nike dominating, I know Nike is always gonna be big and always gonna do everything good. Like Disney's always big and they're always doing really good. But I think at some point we will see someone competing with Nike because I think that they're
I think it's gonna be athlete.
Yeah, and then I just saw this too. I saw that Universal Studios wants to compete with Disney, and I'm like, they can't. Disney is so big. Like they want to have a place called like Epic Universal Universe, just like how there's California Land in California at Disneyland. And I don't know how they're gonna compete with them because Disney took Simpsons and Marvel away from Universal Studios after buying them out. And I'm like, now it's gonna be harder for Universal Studios to compete with Disney. So I'm kind of like, how are they gonna compete with Disney? And I always look at life like a business. I always think about life like there's like I'm a business owner or I'm like a business person every single day. That's how I like to look at life, and that's how I like to see everything in life. I don't like to see everything in life like I'm not a business owner. I like to see everything like I'm a business owner or a manager or I'm running a company or something.
I think that in 5 years it's gonna be pretty similar to how it is right now. I think in 20 years it might be different. I just think that right now, with how things are going, I just think that it's not necessarily the environment and the to take risks. Does that make sense for people to take those leaps? I think that one thing is Adidas and Under Armour are making big stands in college football, specifically college athletics, of partnering with new schools, stealing schools from Nike. Because they're offering either more money, I don't know what they're doing, offering either more money or more opportunity, something. This is the first these last 2 years are the first two non-Nike versus Nike college football championship or national championship. So I think that's something that I do think it's expanding rather than, I think, instead of taking over, I think they are expanding.
I agree too, and then I also saw that Boston College in Maine wear New Balance for sponsorships and everything. Besides uniforms, they wear Adidas, and I kind of like I like that because then their new brand comes in and does it all. Because I think the one rule I don't like about college athletics, I hate this rule that you have to wear what the college wears for sponsorships and everything. Like whatever the college is sponsored by, I hate that rule because then athletes don't get to pick their own product. Like let's say an athlete doesn't like Nike products and they have to go to Washington State because they love the coaching staff and they love everybody there and they know their playing time in Washington State is bigger than like Eastern Washington or Idaho or North Dakota State or Oregon or Oregon State or UW, and they know the playing time here is bigger, but they don't want to wear Nike, but they want to wear Under Armour or Adidas. Like I think there should be a new rule like the NFL or pro sports has where you get to pick the brand you want to wear. They're not letting you have to wear Nike because I think that's unfair because some athletes, their feet might not fit Nike. Not everybody can wear Nike. Not everybody can fit Nike. Not everybody can feel comfortable in Nike shoes. Like why would we be forcing people to wear the brand that the school is sponsored by? I don't like that rule.
Money rules the world, Xander, and it's kind of sad, And I think that one thing that NIL will change maybe is that. I think that players, say a player goes to UW, who's an Adidas school, UW is, and they're like, I'm a big Nike guy. Nike's going to sponsor me. And then they, I think that might change things. I'm not sure. I don't know, and I can't answer that question. But I do know that money rules the world, and that's typically why they're not allowed to.
I think it's kind of sad because I think it's not fair. I think in pro sports, you're able to wear anything you want to wear, any brand you want to wear. But I'll ask you one more question, and then we're done. Where do you think you see the sports industry in like 5 years? Because I've seen a lot of independent brands where athletes own their own brands, and they are owners of it, and they don't sign with big name brand, and they're independent, and they have good products and everything. Like Lathan Galway had FX a brand. Patrick Ewing at Ewing Athletics, there's Beast Mode, there's SAYSH, a running shoe brand from women, and then there's IDA Sports, and then for women's soccer cleats, and then there's Cooper Sports. There's so many other brands that are coming out, like Beast Mode, and then Sunday Red from like Tiger Woods. There's so many independent brands coming out. Do you think those independent brands can impact these bigger brands trying to make money in the future, where these independent brands could dominate the industry in the future and could take over it because they have the athlete's name on them that's going to help them market their brand better than like Nike or Adidas or Under Armour in the future?
I think yes, maybe. I think the only way that it's possible for them to compete is if they are able to reach the same market as those big companies. Sunday Red is cool. I mean, it is really cool, and I'm a big Tiger Woods guy. he will not, I confidently will say this, for the next 10 years, will not be able to reach as many stores, have as good as quality, and have as consistency as Nike. It's not possible because Nike, what they do is incredible. So I think that they might make a little dent if there's enough of them and if they do it well enough, but I just don't think that they'll ever be able to reach that full market, because I think if they ever even got close, Nike would buy Tiger Woods back, and I think they would throw $1 billion at him to do so.
And then I also look at Beast Mode. Like I saw Beast Mode by Marshall Lynch. I watched a video, and I watched like three or four videos, and they said their cleats are a top five football cleat. And I'm like, if they are a top five football cleat, then why are they not sold at sporting goods stores? I'm like wondering why they're not sold at sporting goods stores if they're a top five football cleat. And I also wore FX brand shoes, and they're really good too. So I'm like wondering how there's some good independent brands that aren't sold at sporting goods stores, but they should be. And that's my goal, is to have my sporting goods store MC Sports slogan to be sell small brands to big name brands. With everyday good product for everybody. And that's my goal, because like I don't like the sporting goods as much, because like what I don't like about them is they only sell like big name brands like Adidas, Nike, and Under Armour and New Balance. I don't like how they only sell big name brands. That's not good enough to get your store big. Like look at Sac brand. Their shoes are only like $30 to $60, and we need cheap shoes at some stores so people can buy shoes if they can't afford big name expensive products like Nike and Under Armour and Adidas. Like, where are we going to go about that if Dick's Sporting Goods doesn't do that and I do that? Like, how is Dick's Sporting Goods going to be able to compete with me if I do that? Because I'm feeling like we need more of that in sporting goods stores, and I want that.
I agree with you, Xander. I don't know. I think there's a lot of room for improvement in the how sports are accessible to especially lower-income people. And I think that that's something that needs to change, absolutely. And I mean, you have an answer, right? I mean, I just don't. I want athlete to blow up and take over the world. That would be my dream. I think that would be yours too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And then I also want to sponsor Washington State when I get bigger, so I can make them the athlete sponsor of college, and then be like Oregon of Nike, but of our college, my brand. And then I also want to, in the future, maybe buy out like a brand called like Ben Hogan Golf Equipment, so I can mm-hmm. have them be part of my company and compete with Tommy Armour Golf Clubs of Dick's Sporting Goods, to make sure that I can compete with what Dick's Sporting Goods owns, and make sure that I can compete with them, because I think Ben Hogan is a pretty cool golfer, and I want to make sure that name stays forever and we honor that name, so we know how good of a golfer he was.
I have a couple Ben old Ben Hogan clubs my grandpa gave me that are tucked away in my room. Nice wood or hickory shaft Ben Hogan, and then I have a and then I have a sand wedge. A couple Ben Hogan clubs. Is that about it, Xander?
And then here's
you got the, one last question.
Here's the last thing to wrap it up. What do you expect that sports overall is? Because when I look at sports, I think of sports like I look at opportunities more than like our old weight coach, Coach Ben, that used to be here. He talked about always opportunities were bigger than money, and I'm like, why would you look at money as something that's bigger than opportunities? Like we're taking away opportunities if we look at going for money. If we do that, then opportunities are going to be blown away, and we're not going to the right places that we should be going to help our career out, so we can make more money in the future. Like if we think about it, you need the money to come to you. You don't want to go to the money. You need the money to come to you and work for the money. And people don't want to do that anymore. They want to go where the money takes them. And I think something like that's not going to help your career sometimes. And I'm worried that's going to happen down the road in the future. And I'm worried that's going to be the new future. And that's going to hurt people's careers.
I think that he said it really good is money. If you look at money, just it takes away opportunities, you know. And I think sports are the most incredible thing in the world, especially youth sports. I think that they provide an opportunity for friendships, for athletic development, leadership development, personal development. And I think that sports are the reason that a lot of people are successful in life is because those habits and those qualities that they instill in you. I don't think sports are going anywhere anytime soon, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, but I hope that sports in the future, people realize opportunities are bigger than money. If you go for money, you're going to ruin your career sometimes. Like, there's players that have done that. Like, look what the Browns did with signing Deshaun Watson. Now his career is washed up because they did that to him, and now he's washed up. And then the Cowboys did that to Dak Prescott, and now he's washed up. And now look at what the Jets did to Aaron Rodgers. He's washed up, and he's washed up. So, like, why would you go for the money if you look at all these athletes, they get paid a lot of money. They don't play as good as the athletes that get paid less money. Look at the athletes that get paid less money. They perform better in sports, and I think they do. And that's just my opinion. And then everybody, I hope you guys like watching Game On Podcast with my new co-host, Matthew Stewart, and I hope you guys liked it today. And let's go Cougs for life.
Go Cougs.